can you tell ourselves a little bit about you?
Yeah, okay, I may start.
Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Sarah, yeah. So I'm Konstantin. I'm Agile Delivery Manager in Global Technologies. And also here I work as a Talent Manager.
I'm sorry, Konstantin, but you're Agile Delivery Coordinator. not the manager.
Yeah, not manager. Yeah, I'm Agile Delivery Coordinator, yeah. And Talent Manager.
Probably need to reshoot this one too.
Sorry.
Do you want to start again, guys?
We'll start again.
Probably.
It's not like podcast work.
You got called out then.
Okay.
Let's try. So, hi Dana, hi Konstantin. Tell me about yourselves.
Okay, I can start. Hi, Sarah. I'm Konstantin. I'm Agile Delivery Coordinator in Godot Technologies, and also I work here as a Talent Manager.
Hi, Sarah. Yeah, I'm Diana. I'm also an Agile Delivery Coordinator, and I'm also working with education of, well, kind of cross-company and of Agile Delivery Coordinators.
Fabulous. So obviously thinking about connectivity within a hybrid world and high performing teams within a hybrid world, what does a return to work or return to normality work look like for you both?
I don't really think that we can return to normal. I don't really know how we can do it now. What I'm seeing on the market now is that most of the companies in Belarus I've talked to, they use some kind of hybrid workspace, and where guys just book a workplace for themselves, or they need to attend several days a week. But still, as a companies, we still need to talk to our colleagues in the real world, because for the last year, I think that all of us suffered from this need of having back-to-back calls and just not having time for the actual work, when you can just go to the next place and ask your developer or your tester or somebody else just to do something or to ask you, answer your question. And now we need to set up a call. We need to go on the call. We are not available while we are on the call. So yeah, that's complicated. So I think that it won't be as it was before, where when we are all in the same office, but we will need to have some kind of hybrid model here.
Yeah, I agree. I think that we're rediscovering the new normal. So something that will be different from what we perceived as normal before. But you know, there was some time when we didn't have emails or we didn't have the mobile phones at hand, and we had to schedule the phones and, you know, drop at the friend's place and just see if he or her is there. So this is different for us now, as we have the kind of the connectivity, and it changed after the COVID also. I think that this is something that we're kind of having evolved.
So obviously at time of recording, you guys are both work from home at the moment. Do you think you'll be returning back into the office at all, even if it's a staggered return?
From my side, I can say that on one of my projects, I try to go to the office several days a week, and it really helps, even with mental health, because when you see, you know, real people, you see your teammates, it really helps to motivate you to work with not just the avatars and Teams or Zoom. Yeah, so I think that if I would have a big team, I will just ask them if they are guys, you can just come to the office one day a week, let's say, or maybe even more, just to see each other, just to have a tea or coffee, to have some chats. So yeah, I think that I would do that, definitely.
Yeah, I've been at the office in Minsk yesterday when I got my vaccine shot. And it was so interesting because I met lots of people that I haven't seen for months. And it gave, this nice feeling that you're really connected. So I see that Yeah, dropping in the office for a day or two is very important to keeping the connection, the bond that you have with real people. You know, giving a hug, grabbing a lunch with someone is essential because, well, when we don't see each other, that's a bit different. And at the same time, I see how we're kind of very productive, even working remotely, especially when we can kind of accommodate some things that we have at home, or get the deliveries, or just have some space to, you know, in the office, you have lots of people that you have to interact and that you have to talk to and that are just stopping by. And my desk is at the kind of path of people who are going to the admins. So people are just constantly going here and there. And when you're working for quite some time in the company, you know a lot of people. So, well, your focus is kind of, you know, blurred a bit. And it, when you're at home, you can focus on what you need to get done. And it helps a lot. I understand that when I'm not feeling that energetic, it's better for me to work from home because I can get things done. But at some point, I want to go to the office and meet the people they work with.
Fab. So do you think with having that kind of hybrid model and having some people in the team work from home more regularly or some people in the office more regularly, it'll see those everyday work conversations fizzle out so that the, hi, how are you? What are you doing this weekend? Those nice conversations that we have on a day-to-day, do you think they'll fizzle out?
You know, actually, there is something funny with me trying to get some regular conversation like that when I usually write someone and I'm asking like, oh, how are you? What's been, you know, what's up? People on numerous occasions were like, Diana, do I owe you something? I mean, did you ask me to do something and I just forgot about that? And I'm like, no, I'm just honestly chatting with you, trying to get, well, to know what's been up. And I think that at some point, this kind of social conversation might be perceived as you're just warming up a bit and then you have something, because we, again, having lots of chats. I mean, in a day you can have, I know, 20 different chats in Skype or Teams, and you can get lost. And if you don't have that much time, sometimes it's just easier to get straight to the matter at hand. At the same time, it is also very precious when we find some time for this social conversation. And you find out that the people that they work with are very interesting people. Like, I know the hobbies, what people had in their background, what they did. And that's kind of very interesting. And you still need to get, I think that we need to preserve it to know people from a more, I would say, 3D perspective, more deeply.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there was a good point, actually, that we are used now to go straight to the point, because you have so much of those conversations, you have so much chats you need to have attention on, and you just are not going in this nice way that we were used to, you know, how are you doing? Oh, yeah, I just forgot. Can you help me with this one and stuff like that? But potentially, from my point of view, it can lead to a burnout. It can lead to some social disconnections, and it's bad for us as a team, as a business. And I don't think that people, they are social animals, right? And they can't do without the social interactions, just the usual ones that are comforting them in some way. So I think that's we will still have this. But this time, this year that we were working out of office from different offices, we just really don't know how to deal with it for now. But we will be used to it in the future, I think.
Yeah, so you kind of mentioned it there, but burnout. Without that kind of commuting, wind up, wind down time, do you think we're at further accelerated risk of burnout?
From my point of view, yes. because we don't have the routine. You know, that people are feeling calmer when they have their plans, when they have the routine they are used to. For example, I'm getting out of the bed, let's say at 8 a.m., I'm having breakfast, then I go to the shower, then I look through my social networks, and then I open my email, right? But now what I'm feeling personally is that when I'm out of the bed, I'm at work instantly. And I think that it may lead to burnout, obviously. But again, as we are trying to get used to this speed of life, let's say, I think that we are more spending more time on maybe reading books, on our hobbies that we are finding. So people just can't do only work for a long time. So I think that we are finding our ways.
Yeah, I think that some things that were just naturally occurring when you're having a commute, when you're going out for lunch out of the office or something like that, well, they were happening by themselves, and now we need to pay attention to it. We need to put it to control that they're there, that you have a walk in the morning so that you get some sunshine, and well, some sun helps your immune system and the way how you feel, and the fresh air also helps you. And if you don't have a lunch break right now or between the 4 and 4 hours of meeting, well, you can't think straight, and you need to have a stretch, you need to have a walk, I know, every 40 minutes or something. Without that, well, the body isn't functioning well. So right now we need to kind of think how we can incorporate small habits into our life to make sure that we're feeling better. Because if we're just trying to work as it works from the bed, you know, working for 10 hours, well, it can't last. It can last a week or two, but on the span of months or years, is something that, well, is leading to burnout and things like that. And it's just, I think that it's not working from home that's leading to it. It's more like not having these small bits and pieces that we previously got to just by the design of our lifestyle. And we still can put them ourselves.
Yeah, it's all about having those boundaries, isn't it? And setting yourself a routine, like you say. So with the kind of hybrid model, do you think that will affect attrition? So do you think having people with the added risk of burnout will make people move companies more frequently, or companies lose staff frequently?
Actually, I don't know. Because as I said, we are just a year, we are working like this just for a year.
Yeah.
And it's really short time for people to understand what's happening, really. And as we can see, the situation is changing. So some countries were open for some time and they are closed now. And why I'm saying that we don't know, because we don't know what will be the situation tomorrow for us. It may lead to burnout. It may lead to people wanting to change the companies. But from our side, working at Godel, I think that the policies that companies have and their values, if their value, if the main value is their people, companies need to ask themselves what they can do to make people's work like easier, or maybe more calm, maybe not to drive on efficiency so much. I for now I can't say really.
Yeah, I think we can only speculate on that. And one of the things that I had in mind is that right now, with more hybrid world, with working remotely, we have more opportunities, and potentially it might mean that, well, you have more opportunities staying with the same company. I mean, if you want to go and spend a weekend working from a forest where you have the Wi-Fi, well, you can do that. You will be still working, but in the evening you will be everything kind of nice, and you will be kind of breathing the fresh air of nature, and it can kind of help to support people. I think that it gives some level of freedom. That's why I would say that I don't think that it would lead to more to more people changing the companies, but it may lead to people understanding what they want better, because now, as we lost lots of things like the freedom of movement, right, we were understanding more what is important for us, what we value, and what we want to do with our life.
Yeah, and also I can say that for now I see that the world is like opening for us, because when we are living in our country, we have these daily routines. It's basically, it may be the same for some people, you know, just home, work, home, or home, work, training center in homes or something like that. And you have just your weekends to relax, to be with your family and stuff like that. But for now, we can spend time with our family, even when we are working as we do from the same flat. Or you can get education, not just in your company or in your school or university. You can go to any part of the world and access the knowledge. You always could do that, but it's now coming to be more obvious for us, because we are looking for those opportunities. And yeah, Diana, again, it was a really good point. When we are losing something, we are re-estimating the value of it for us. So if we are losing some important stuff, like having a conversation with the colleagues, then we will value it higher than we did. So yeah, we can appreciate that.
Fab. So how will you ensure that the company values for Godel or ethos remains the same when not everyone is in the office? Is there anything that you particularly do with your teams?
Yeah, I can say from two points of view, from point of agile delivery coordinator and from point of talent management. So yeah, we're actually starting to do more of those one-to-one meetings with our colleagues, where we ask them, and we don't really have had this, I guess, in our teams when we were in the office. You know, when you are sitting, just two of you, and you can talk about things that matter for you now, things that are worrying you. If you have some discomfort, if you have, I don't know, issues of any kind, actually. And we can listen to each other, we can give support to each other, and we are trying to do this in talent management, in coordination of our projects. And I think that Diana can correct me, but she has several one-to-ones, I can say that each week, maybe. So yeah, we are doing it more often than we did when we were in the office.
Fab. And what about yourself, Diana? Is there anything that else that Constantine didn't mention that you do particularly with your team?
Yeah, I try to have some sessions with the team as a whole, just to have a conversation, to raise things, just to have a few laughs. I think that lots of teams do have like coffee time where they just have a call and chat about everything but work. And I see that it works out okay. And they also play online board games, and it's also fun when you can connect. You don't actually necessarily need to be in a pub to do some team building. You can do this other ways. And that's perfectly fine. And yeah, currently I'm working with the Portuguese team, and I started working with them when COVID was around, and I've never met them in person. But still, the feedback that I'm getting is that we have a very close connection, and that they have to they talk to me more than they talk to the colleagues that they worked at in the office. So I get it as a proof that we can keep connected and we can kind of show people that we care, even if we're thousands of kilometers away or kind of very remotely located.
And what do you guys do to ensure that all the team feels connected, so every single member?
It's a really good question. I think that it's something that we just feel. Except of it, we can obviously use some kind of health check to understand how team feels about their work, about their work environment and stuff like that, like, you know, Spotify health checks or just team health checks. So that's how we can judge about the group. But usually, as we work closely with them still, and we still have those conversations with them, not just one-to-ones, but as a group, we just can feel if something is going wrong. If, let's say, Piotr was working fine last week, but this week he's not performing at all, we always can come to him and ask if it's all okay. But yeah, I think that it's more from our experience, it's more from compassion to people that we feel that helps us to understand if all is going well or not.
Yeah, I think we have lots of little cues that are right now more or less unconscious that we act or do not act on. So for example, if someone is silent and not speaking up, right? If someone is moody and is kind of reacting more kind of, I would say, more tough or rude than they used to, or if you see that there are some issues and the team isn't bringing it up, they are not discussing it and they're just making kind of an impression that it's not happening, ignoring some things, or if they give up, if they don't take the responsibility for things, right? So those are the cues that the team isn't communicating on a good level, that they don't have probably the safe environment, or they didn't have trust in the team. And this is something that we as Agile Delivery coordinators can kind of return, can say that, well, guys, look, we noticed, I noticed that, well, this is happening. What do you think? Would you like to do something with that? Why do you think it's happening? And engaging team into discussing what's that? And yeah, also some kind of health checks. It might be just how are you feeling, or put a GIF that shows how the sprint went, right? During the retrospective, or for those who are more into that, like find a picture that represents how you feel, because this is something that shows you what the guys have on their mind and helps us to understand if we need to act or if they're fine by themselves.
Yeah, that leads really nicely on. So how can you support, say that, so how can you support the feel of failure? So how do you prevent people from fearing that failure aspect in their day-to-day work from home?
You know, I would say that what I like to do is to be open myself, right? And share different many things that I have. I know that right now, as we have, you know, the social networks and we judge how everything is based on that, on the post in Instagram or Facebook, or by the pictures that they post to Skype, or I know the tan that they have on their face during the video call, right? It's easy to get distracted in the illusions that everyone is kind of is doing better than you. And that's why I try to be open regarding that. I mean, not oversharing, but if I don't feel right, I am saying that, okay, guys, I'm not at my best today, I'm sorry. Or if I do something wrong, for example, yesterday I scheduled a meeting on Thursday, and Thursday is a bank holiday in Portugal. And I kind of missed that. And I then said, okay, guys, sorry, my bad. Obviously, I'm not going to make you work on your bank holiday, so I'm rescheduling that. And by me responding, okay, when I do something wrong or if I don't foresee something, it makes the team understand that, well, it's okay to fail, and it's okay to discuss that and admit that, and that the treatment will be more or less the same, that they wouldn't be judged as poor people. It will be just perceived that they did something that wasn't the best thing in that situation.
Yeah, it's actually in Belarusian culture, we are so afraid of failure, but it's really a cultural thing. What we can do here, I think, we need to have complete trust between us in our teams. And we need to understand that people are not judging us as individuals. You know, if I did something wrong, it doesn't mean that I'm a bad person. And it should be translated in some way. That's the first thing. The second one, Diana said that she tries to be open. I just try to show if I failed at something for now. Because people need to see that if you are a leader, you can fail as well. And it's totally fine to fail, and nothing happens. I think that's translation and showing by example is a good thing. And people need to understand that if you are asking them about something that they did wrong, you are not judging them. It's not that you are thinking about them worse than you thought before this conversation. It's just you need to be friendly. You need to stay the same teammate that they have. It doesn't matter how they did this week or this month.
Fab. So with that, it kind of leads quite nicely onto how do we stop bias in a hybrid world to those working from the office or those working from home? So encouraging that fair treatment, ensuring the welfare is there. How do you prevent that if you're with somebody day in, day out?
You know, I think right now we all were in a situation when we were to work from home, right? So it adds up to the empathy to people who are not in the office, right? So as we were in the shoes of the person who isn't invited to the meeting or who doesn't know that something is happening because someone decided on that in a private chat and didn't share it to the common channel, right? Or spoke about it in a meeting, in a call, but didn't share it kind of to the team space. I think that it helps to realize first that you as a professional is capable to be a good professional if you're working from home with your cat. And I think that it just helps and supports by itself. And at the same time, we again can kind of pay attention to these things when we see that someone is doing something that doesn't include people from who are working from with kind of with different conditions from different time zone or something, that we can again address that empathy part. And if people just not understand, explain it to them. Yeah.
Sarah, sorry, I lost you for a second. Can you please briefly repeat the question? Because
yeah, of course. So how do we ensure that trust and the kind of feel of ensuring that everyone is on the same path is managed within the team?
Okay, so it's about building trust between the team members, obviously, and we have several ways of doing that, and we have some actions that we call destructors of trust, and we have actions that we call the creators of trust. And There is a great book actually about this that is called The Speed of Trust by Stephen Covey. And I got lots of ideas from there. And I think that, showing empathy, as you said, is one of the main things that we need to understand. We need to try to think from some other's shoes. And we need to understand what context they are in right now. And it's great to have this visibility between the team, who is working from where, and do they have pets, do they have relatives working with them or living with them and stuff like that. Other stuff, it's a bit more complicated. I'm reading a 2-hour lecture about it, 2-hour workshop. So I just can name the book.
Fab. And just kind of to finalize our chat now. So within the hybrid world and keeping that high performing team, keeping those connectivity aspects, is there anything that you would like to share with anybody? Any tips or any kind of hints that you've found that have worked?
Diana, can you tell about the liberators?
Oh yeah, by the way, thanks for joining. So yeah, I use a very interesting, very nice facilitation kind of set of techniques that are called liberating structures, and they are helping on when you're offline in an office or when you are doing online. So they're just kind of a set of different ways how you can organize a chat when you need to involve lots of people and make them decide for them, right? So, and they work actually quite nice, especially with teams having the breakout rooms when you can push people to different smaller groups for them to discuss. And I see that, it's a very fun and engaging way to facilitate the meeting when you want to hear from everyone and you want everyone to be involved. And they're quite easy to use. And there are something like 33 of them to the different tastes when you have a huge event like 100 or 200 people, or if you have just 5 people that you need to kind of come to a conclusion or share their experience. And this way it works not to have a speaking head on the meeting that is kind of know-it-all and just gets all the space, but have everyone to work on that. Yeah, it works good.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that those liberating structures are great because you are not obliged to facilitate every meeting, every aspect of the meeting, and that's great. So that's one tip that I can say. And then for now, I see that we need to read and understand more about the psychology, about empathy, about being self-conscious and stuff like that, and work on our emotional intelligence. There is lots of literature out there, lots of courses, but I think that for now, it's the most important for us to understand what it is, because previously, several years ago, nobody was talking about that, because we just thought about psychologists as doctors, as a scientist or something like that. But it comes to workplace, obviously, because we really need it and need to understand how people think, what do they feel, how to understand what do they feel, why they are feeling this, how can we help them, how can we support them. I think that's the most valuable advice that I can give.
Fab. Yeah. Anything else either of you would like to add at all?
I would say also about the importance of visualization, right? When we are discussing something right now, if people are more drawn to physical world when we're just chatting about something with the voice and we can't, you know, grab a thing or two, we have lots of interesting tools that help us to do that, like, you know, mirror or the mural, they are, well, a great help for me in conducting any sort of meetings, retrospectives, or any facilitation that I have, because they help to keep the attention of people in one place. Obviously, it doesn't work with everyone. I know lots of people who can't do that. That kind of, they don't like mirror, and they usually say, "Well, no." But for those people, there are different other ways of doing that. But it's important to have something kind of written down or drawing something when we're discussing, just to make sure that everyone is there and they do not lose their focus.
Yeah, and also about the visualization, it's good to see everybody, because when it's just, mm-hmm. you know, 10 people sitting on a meeting and they have just their avatars and they are lighting up when you ask, when somebody is speaking, it's not really great way, because yeah, we understand that somebody can just sit at the meeting in their underwear, and that's fine if you are not going to stand up, but still, we need to see each other, we need to see the expressions on each other's faces, and I think that we need to encourage this more in our teams and make it part of our team culture. And yeah, Diana started to talk about it, and yeah, team needs to take responsibilities, and they need to, I mean, not big ones, you know, not committing to the delivery or something. They need to do that, but not in this conversation. You need to ask them to take responsibility for the conversation itself, because everybody should be involved. It's not about, you know, two leaders just talking to each other, because it doesn't make sense for all other team members to be there even. So yeah, just encourage people to speak and let them see each other.
Fab. Well, everything that you've said is really great, and thanks for the hints and tips, and it's been great to chat with you both.
Yeah, it's great to see you too, and to chat with you. Thank you.
Fab.